Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
So many times when we look at the Gospels that we are very familiar with, a challenge that I personally have, and I'm sure all of us do as well, is that they're so familiar that when we start reading them from the Scripture, we just glance over them. Think of when you pray Our Father, for example, or the Thanksgiving prayer. You just have built that level of familiarity that every time you pray it, you're just repeating words, or your eyes just glance over the words. And it's harder for us to regularly or on a regular basis receive a spiritual message from things which we normally do. So one of the things I've observed is when we read these messages more contemplatively, probably a little more slowly, and also use the resources we have in the Orthodox Church. One big resource is, of course, the patristic commentaries. It makes the words soak in a little more, and the Holy Spirit always reveals more depth to things that we may be very familiar with. Now, the way I learned this was just simply by having to either prepare for a sermon or a Sunday school lesson to something that everyone is familiar with. And there is a lot of lessons that we can learn from them. It takes for us to spend some time with the Word of God. Now, that may mean that this cannot just be the normal bedtime Bible read or the just zip through it type of passage. But I feel it's very important for us to read a little bit more slowly, contemplatively, and also use the patristic resources. For those of you that do not know, there is a full-on patristic commentary by St. Cyril on the entire Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, as well as another one for St. Joel Chrysostom. It's a little bit tiring or difficult for those who have never read Fathers before, but I think it's well worth the effort. So today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. And one key point I want to mention up front is that before we begin talking about the types of soil, some have asked a question before, well, if I am a certain type of soil, what have I to do with it? And the answer is that we're not predetermined different types of soil. And by that, I mean that God did not, for example, create me to be rocky places or create somebody else to be a good land. But rather, think of it in terms of how we receive or how we are receptive and how we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, God did not create one person a type of soil and another type of soil, because in that case we have nothing, basically we have nothing that we can work on. If I'm a bad soil, I'm just a bad soil. But in reality, whatever type of soil we may happen to be at this point is something that's changeable. And let's not forget that the Holy Spirit is the one who changes us to receive the Word of God. So it's not predetermined what we are, but by nature, or because of the fall of man, everybody inherited the mess in one way or another. So some of us may identify with the rocky ground more. Some of us may identify with the stony, or the land, or the ground that has more thorns. But it doesn't really matter where we start, because the mess that's in each one of us is different. What matters is to remember that the Holy Spirit prepares us and makes us a good soil so we can receive the Word of God. And this is how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. He changes us from wherever we are to become the good soil so we can receive the Word of God. And if you remember, if we just go over a couple of verses from the Psalm today, it's very clear when we see that. We ask God to saturate her first, multiply her fruits, bless the crown of the year, the crop springing shall rejoice in its drops. So it's God himself is the one that prepares the land for sowing and harvesting. It's not that we have to change, so to speak, ourselves so we can receive the Word of God, because it simply will never happen that we can change ourselves. So now let's look at the different type of soil, or the different types of lands that are mentioned here. The first one is the wayside, or the pathway. Sometimes I wonder, by the way, when we read the parables of Christ, he's speaking to a community that's very agriculture-based. It's very farm-based. I wonder if Christ, our Lord Christ, had lived in our day and age, what type of examples he would use, what type of parables he would use. So, probably would not be very farming-based. It could be a man pulled out his iPad, and as he's browsing through the applications, such and such came up. But it's The reason I mention that is because it's difficult for us to grasp the full literal context and historical background of what's happening. And sometimes that's why we kind of overskip some of these things without knowing the context and the people that he was speaking with. What is their background? What is in their mind when he says a wayside? So by God's grace, I will try to go briefly through that and then apply this spiritual meaning of the scripture. So think of the wayside as a curb. As you're walking, we don't really have farms that we see on a regular basis anymore, but think of it as a curb. How different is a curb? Or think of it in terms maybe of your backyard at home. You have soil and grass, and then to the side you have a curb. It is very hard, it is very compact. What sets that apart from the soil, as St. Cyril says, is that it's hard and untilled because it is exposed to everyone's feet. And this is something for us to start contemplating on. It's very hard and untilled. Not only that, but it's exposed to everyone's feet. Normally when you walk, you're going to walk over the curb or the wayside, as it mentions in scripture. You're going to try to avoid walking on grass for one reason or another. And he describes this spiritually, St. Cyril of Alexandria in his commentary, as those whose mind is hard and unyielding and pressed together. Now think of it now in terms of us these days. When our mind is so compact and pressed together, it really has no room for God to seep in at all. So one of the biggest challenges is when our mind is so hardened and we are, so to speak, full of ourselves and think we know everything best, it's very difficult for God to start coming in. And so the advice he offers to this kind of land is to simply open your mind and receive the sacred seed. Another one that I think is very helpful: guard your mind and shut the entrance against the thief. So when our mind is so filled and our senses are absorbing or bringing in all kinds of things that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to godliness, chances are when the Word of God comes, it's not going to find a way. So the first thing that he mentions here is to open our minds and also to guard our senses. One of the most disturbing things I hear kids and even adults saying at some point, let's just try everything out and find out that it's bad and then walk away from it. And that could be all kinds of drugs, and this is very common for people now in high school. What's the harm in trying this out? It's no big deal. Just the problem is once people start feeding themselves or feeding their senses with things that are just very pleasurable in the world, they just close off and shut off their ability to absorb things of God. And that's something we should be very careful about, not just children, but even adults. So guarding our minds and guarding our senses is a day-to-day action. Very simply, guarding of our eyes and our ears to things we look at and behold that we should not, or maybe conversations we have, gossip or whatever it may be, that we should not be having. So this is a wayside, and this is advice that St. Cyril gives to those who may identify with this type of soil. And by the way, one thing I mentioned earlier, I will mention again, it's not so much that we have to pinpoint what type of soil I am, because I find in myself all different types of soil at different times of my life. The idea is to work with God so we can be healed of that problem to become a good soil. So in other words, I identify, for example, with the thorny ground more often than I do with the rocky ground. But there are some times when I identify with the rocky ground and other times when I identify with the wayside. So it's important to not just try to identify exactly what it is that you are, but when you find yourself there, cooperate with the Holy Spirit so you can be healed from it and become a good ground. Now let's move on to the second ground, which is the rocky places. So those are the ones who receive the word very quickly with joy and spring right away, but then they have no roots. I thought when I read St. Cyril's commentary that it's very applicable to our day and age. The words are simple enough, but I think his description of it is very spot on. So he speaks of these people that when they enter the churches, they feel pleasure often in seeing so many assembled. I guess that may not apply so much to our parish here, thankfully. And joyfully receive instruction in the mysteries from him whose business is to teach, and laud him with praises. But this they do with no discretion nor judgment, but with unpurified wills. And when they have gone out of the churches, at once they forget the sacred doctrines and proceed in their customary course, and having stored up within them, and having not having stored up within themselves anything for their future benefit. So think of people that just seek a good sermon, or people that just come in to hear a motivational speaker. It may even be a church speaker. There are many that just go from place to place to just hear that motivational speaker and just dissect and analyze how cool their sermons were. But in reality, once we're done listening to the sermon or completing the church service, we flip the switch back and go back to our lives. So that's a problem, because it just becomes a form of entertainment. Like, I'm spiritually entertaining myself. And I think the biggest danger of it is that we develop that sense that we have, quote unquote, done the spiritual things. We have heard all these sermons, and with the spread of social media and the spread of all these Christian channels, people have sometimes Christian sermons playing in the background all day long. And they're like, wow, this priest or this speaker is such an amazing speaker. And we just admire how cool and how outstanding their sermons were. But to be honest, I say this to myself all the time, the sermon, when in relation to the liturgy, it's probably not the most important thing for believers, because what really we are here assembled for is prayer and the body and the blood of Christ. Not to belittle the instruction in the church, it's definitely important. But people that just go from one church to another just seeking a different sermon or a different speaker and hop all the time, I think we kind of miss a point of what church is. So this is something that we should really keep in our minds. When we leave out of church here, what is it that we hold on to? Do we just flip the switch right back and go to what we were doing just before we entered church? So just keep our minds that at least we allow the Word of God to soak in and not switch back right away. The third type of soil is a thorny ground, and this one is a little challenging, because the thorns are the cares and the pleasures of world and the wealth and everything that's around us. And I find this one in particular very challenging, because unlike the other two grounds, you can immediately identify when you messed up, so to speak. But with this one, because these cares of the world and these pleasures of the world are not bad in and of themselves, but we have to use them without letting them be an integral part of us. We have to use them without being attached to them. So it's a very big challenge, because things like, for example, financial planning. Who is not concerned, or who doesn't work for the financial well-being of their families? Or who would not like to cook and have good food and dinners to have with their families? And who would not like to have a good path for their career growth? But then the problem is, we're always told extreme cases where career completely absorbs your life, and another where you have absolutely no career. And we know that God does not want us to be failures. There is sometimes this insinuated feeling that a good Christian is somebody who always eats like bread and salt, hardly ever enjoys anything that God has given him, which is completely wrong. But then on the other hand, how do we really find that balance? And this is one area that's, quite honestly for myself personally, I struggle with the most, because when do I identify the world as having a real attachment, or when do I identify for myself that I have a real attachment to the world and to the cares of the world? And when is it just going through it on the normal basis without having that real attachment to it? So a couple of things I thought of that help. One is, at the very least, one of them is following the church basic rules and guidelines wholeheartedly. So for example, somebody who is really trying to assess their relationship to these cares, whether it's a real attachment or not, a very basic guideline is, am I following the church rules and the church prayers and the church calendar wholeheartedly? What does that mean? In very simple terms, am I attending my weekly liturgy at least on a regular basis? And as I'm attending that liturgy, am I distracting my mind throughout the whole liturgy by what is going to happen after the liturgy? Whether it be food or a hangout or fun or anything else. These are very simple things that we can just self-check on a regular basis. When it comes to the church fasting calendar, am I following the church calendar when it comes to fasting, or am I kind of creating my own calendar and making up my own rules when it comes to it? Also, when it comes to prayers, am I focused on the prayer? At least, am I making an attempt to continuously bring my mind back to the spirit of prayer? Or am I content with just standing there, going through the motions, making the sign of the cross when I need to, and raising my hands when I need to, but inside my heart or inside my mind, there is nothing going on? We hear in the beginning of the anaphora, when Abuna says, lift up your hearts, or in some other translations, where is your heart? And we say we have them with the Lord. Sometimes we know they are not with the Lord, but if we know that they're not, at least we should offer up a prayer to Christ to really make our words match with our intentions, because this is very key. Because if it's not, it's good for us to identify when it's not, but if it's not the case and we're doing nothing about it, then probably our minds and our hearts are not with God. And we're not doing anything about it, so God is not going to just force himself upon us. So how do we know if we are so attached to the cares of the world? One thing is, am I following the church rules and the church prayers and the church fastings and the church vigils with some level of diligence, at least? A second thing which I find very useful over the years I've observed is test your level of willfulness when you interact with your friends and with your family and with your colleagues at work. And by that I mean, how willful are you for worldly things? Just a very simple example. I've observed that when some friends go out to eat, there are some that are very adamant about what they want. So there's nothing wrong with having a nice meal together with friends. But then if you observe in yourself that if I don't get what I want, if I don't go to the place I want, then I'm not going to be happy. And it's going to be like, okay, fine. Just because you want to go there, I'll go there. So how willful we are in the worldly things is a very good test as to whether we're attached to them or not. When it could even be like for hangouts or trips. Well, one of the biggest challenges for me growing up in a group of very good friends is picking out a place to go to eat, or just picking out an attraction or like some fun event to do. And I think a big part of it is a lot of us are just very willful, right? I know that this thing will be good for everybody else. I know that other people want this, but no, I don't want it. So it just begins to create a lot of tension. Again, there is nothing wrong with doing A, B, or C, or D, but I think we should just reflect internally to see if I'm willing to yield and genuinely consider what the other person wants, or am I always intent on what I want? And if I don't get what I want, I'm going to be very upset. And if that's the case, then perhaps the world is not just some place I'm going through, but I'm really attached to the worldly things. And then the third thing, in addition to following the church rules and testing how willful we are, is just remembering that just like thorns that grow, or just like weeds that grow, for example, among the grass, you just cannot find one way solution that would just solve it once and for all. You always will continuously see things popping up here and there, and you just have to unplug it from your grass. The reason I mention this example is because I have had this experience in my own home. I bring all kinds of weed killers, so I don't see these popping up with my grass. And sometimes it works, but then 2 or 3 weeks later, I see something else come up, and I get very irritated. But reality is, when it comes to the thorns and the things of the world, it just takes patience. And until we depart from this flesh, until we depart from this world, there is not going to be a point when you look around and you find absolutely nothing to unplug or to just root out. So God is willing to work with us, and it's a good reminder for us that the thorns will always spring up, but that continued vigilance is necessary. There is not going to be a point when it's all going to be pure with no problem on this earth. So having this mindset is comforting. Because seeing weeds or seeing thorns, as the Bible describes it here, is not because I messed up or completely deviated. It's a normal part of my growth and my edification as a Christian here on earth. So let's not be discouraged when we may have been struggling or really growing in our spiritual life to look and find something that's really ugly out there, it might be even of God's mercy, lest we fall into pride. Because when we see it, we'll remember that we still need our complete reliance on God. So this is a thorny ground. The last ground, which I will conclude with, is the good ground. This is the ground that has the ability to absorb the divine seed. And as St. Cyril describes it, it's those who have a mind pure and skillful in cleansing itself from things hurtful. Basically, the one that is not A, B, or C. That's not the three other types of ground that were mentioned earlier. It's pure, it's receptive to the Word of God, and it's skillful in cleansing of itself from all the things hurtful, the things of the world. And then it fixes its roots deeply. And when it talks about roots here, we should always remember that when we begin in our spiritual journey, and I would say begin because we're all more or less beginners, we always look for the upward growth rather than the root growth, or the roots going deeper into the ground. And sometimes when you leave a plant to just ground its roots, it's not visible, which is okay because it's digging its roots deeper and deeper so it could withstand bigger and bigger storms, if you will. So let's not be discouraged when we begin to, or as we continue in our spiritual lives, if we feel that there is no visible sign, for example, a passion I'm struggling with maybe for a year, and I'm really supplicating myself to Christ, I have not gotten rid of it, but I'm truthfully and genuinely putting in the effort, that's okay, because this could be part of the roots, and God will give the growth when it's necessary. And the one word that St. Luke concludes this gospel with, which is not found in the other narratives of this parable, is with patience. Because as I said, sometimes it just takes patience for God to work with us, to transform us from whatever soil, whatever messy soil we are, to the good soil that will receive the word of God. So we shouldn't lose heart if we feel that something is taking too long. At the end of the day, we know that at the end of our life, we will still look and we will find some of these thorns. And it's not the presence of these that will deny us salvation, because the Lord is willing to save those who come to Him, not because they have done everything right, but because they truthfully and genuinely rely on Him and do the very best they can for Him. So I hope and pray that God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts to transform all of our lives, take us from whatever mess we are, so we can all be this good ground that will receive the seed in the Word of God. To God is the glory in His church, for now and forever. Amen.